Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. Greg Likens in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder. Alex Solano with us as always, taking up until 6 o'clock. Do want to let you know that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some Miami Dolphins football with Cam Wolf, who does a terrific job covering the team for ESPN. But Channing, this is what I wanted to get into here. And it's funny because we finally have the TVs working here in the studio, which is nice. And so I see that this topic of discussion is on ESPN right now. But to give everybody the background on this, New Orleans Pelicans executive vice president David Griffin detailed the challenges of his three seasons working with LeBron James as Cleveland Cavaliers general manager, saying the experience was quote-unquote miserable and questioning James' winning instinct in Los Angeles. So he did this in an interview with Sports Illustrated. Now he is live on ESPN, I guess maybe clarifying what he said. I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out about this as this is going on live. But with that being said, Griffin was quoted as saying, "Everything we did was so inorganic and unsustainable and frankly not fun. I was miserable. Literally the moment we won the championship, I knew I was going to leave. There was no way I was going to stay for any amount of money," end quote. So he put this out there in this interview. Mm-hmm. And then sources close to LeBron James told ESPN yesterday they were shocked at Griffin's characterization of LeBron. James seemingly addressed the Griffin story via a tweet last night without mentioning it by name, saying, quote, all right, enough is enough. The throne has been played with too much, and I ain't for horseplay. Ether coming soon, with a bunch of emojis, end quote. Then you also had former NBA center Kendrick Perkins, who played with LeBron in Cleveland in 2014-15 when Griffin was the general manager, suggested Griffin should direct his disappointment at Dan Gilbert, not at LeBron James, saying, quote, would Griff have any credibility if he wasn't in the front office with LeBron on the team? Griff, for the last 2 years, you praised LeBron for buying into the culture in Cleveland and how professional he was, and now you're saying it's inorganic? Your real problem was Dan Gilbert, end quote. Griffin and a person close to James spoke to each other after the SI story was published, and Griffin expressed that some of the context was missing behind his comments. James Camp encouraged Griffin to clear up his stance on the record, so perhaps that's what he's doing right now on ESPN. But the bottom line is, just to read you a few more of this before I let you react, Griffin told SI that he believes James winning a title in his home state has affected his mindset on the court and wondered whether James is more preoccupied with other priorities. Quote, there wasn't a lot else for him. I don't think he's the same animal anymore about winning. Also, he later on said to SI that being in James' orbit created a vacuum when it came to doling out credit. Quote, LeBron is getting all the credit and none of the blame, and that's not fun for people. They don't like being part of that world. So, this is the setup for it. I'll let you start on this, because I certainly have an opinion on this, but what do you make of this back and forth now? With Griffin and LeBron seemingly have always been on the same page, seemingly have always been allies, and now these comments have created a division there.
And everybody knows, too, and that's why you kind of teased it by saying, if I defend LeBron, it's going to be weird, because I'm not a fan of LeBron James.
Every time I hear you talk about LeBron, you start by saying, I'm not a fan of LeBron James. You don't like him as a person.
Do not like him as a person. Second best basketball player I've ever seen, and I've seen him in live. I went to a bunch of Heat games. I've seen him on TV. Second best basketball player I've seen behind Michael Jordan, and you can't pull me off that topic. But even to put him in Michael Jordan's sentence means a lot to me. Do not like him as a person. He is very selfish. Everything's about him. And people, I've argued about this for years, where he has to be. He's at that realm. Yes, but I've seen a lot of people at that realm that didn't act like him. David Griffin, to what we're talking about, David Griffin knew that. This is the funny thing about this thing. He was in Cleveland. He was in Miami. You heard all the stories. The Heat were the center of not even NBA. They were the center of sports for those 4 years. They had the Heat. They started – what was it? The Heat TV, Heat broadcast, The dude in Memphis now, Smooth Operator.
Right, they had Michael Wallace.
Michael Wallace. Right. Like, they
had the Heat Index portion of ESPN.com, right.
You put on ESPN.com and the Heat were their own little section. Like, they were the center, the epicenter of sports. So you're not surprised on what LeBron can do for your team, but they're shrapnel. There are residual effects to having LeBron James, and we all know it. When he left Cleveland the first time, they were terrible because of the fact that he's going to be the GM. If he's not named the GM, he's going to tell the GM what to do. Rich Paul is going to control your team. Everybody knows that. If you get LeBron, you get Rich Paul. You get LeBron, you get LeBron's entourage, including Rich Paul and all the other guys with what's it called, Clutch Sports. Mm-hmm. That's the part you're buying. You're buying a great basketball player for 82-plus games because they're going to the playoffs. Well, the Lakers didn't, but there's a great chance you're going to the playoffs with LeBron, but you're buying the entirety of LeBron, and when he leaves, his wake is going to leave you a disaster. He's going to leave you in a tsunami behind his wake because you're going to use up all your money. You're going to get so deep into the luxury tax. Having LeBron James on your team is going to hurt your team after he's gone. But while he's there, this is what I can't get about David Griffin. You won the championship down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors, who's supposed to be one of the best teams of all time. And you're going to say after that, you didn't want to be a part of that anymore? That's part of your job. When you signed LeBron James, you knew the end was going to be any credits given to LeBron, any criticism going to Spo or Riley. We saw it down here. I don't know basketball like David Griffin does. I knew exactly what's going on in Miami. If they lose a game, Eric called a bad game or the team wasn't good enough. If they win a game, LeBron prayed great. That's how it goes. That's how LeBron James is. That's the aura around him. I'm not defending LeBron James. I guess I'm more attacking David Griffin. Mm-hmm. It is naive for him to come out now and say that he was surprised by it. That's the biggest thing I take away from this story. How the hell are you surprised by it? LeBron wasn't a rookie. LeBron left your team to go to Miami, to come back to your team, and on the back end of everything he did, you saw exactly what it takes to be the GM, the head coach, or the owner of a team with LeBron James on it. It should not have been a surprise.
Right, because what was the ongoing narrative when LeBron was in Cleveland especially was that he was the best player. He was the coach, and he was the general manager.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whether it was David Blatt, if he didn't like him, he was going to kick him out for Ty Lue so that he'd have, you know, he could be the puppeteer and have the puppet on the sideline. And that any players that were on the team, and David Griffin was the one who handed out these deals when they, you know, Tristan Thompson got paid, J.R. Smith got paid, all because they're LeBron guys. And that LeBron wanted them to get their contracts, to your point. Like, I would agree with you in this sense. David Griffin would not be the renowned general manager if it weren't for LeBron James' presence on the roster.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if anybody would care what David Griffin had to say right now if LeBron James wasn't on his Cleveland Cavaliers team, right? Because if he just spent a stint as the general manager in Cleveland without LeBron James there, he would largely be a forgotten part of NBA history. But because he was there when LeBron was there and they won a championship, suddenly his name has some pizzazz to it. And he ends up, you know, now with this position with the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson. Here's the only thing, though, I would say is that I do think he made a really valid point in that, and not a lot of people have verbalized this. Certainly the Miami Heat have never said anything about this, but I guarantee you they all read this and they're like, oh, yeah, we know the story on that. But when he said LeBron's getting all the credit and none of the blame, and that's not fun for people, they don't like being part of that world. And then it went on to say in the article, a source familiar with Griffin's thinking said the Pelicans exec's intention was to refer to the media machine surrounding James and simply acknowledge a byproduct of his immense celebrity rather than blame James for creating the atmosphere. I do think from a human side of things, everybody can relate to that. Like, right? Like, so David Griffin may have worked his butt off, but didn't matter what he did, didn't matter what anybody else did, it was LeBron, 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 LeBron. And I would imagine, just as a human being, over time, that may get a little old, right?
Yeah, but even in L.A. right now, do you think if LeBron and AD go on to win championships, they're going to say, hoo-hoo, this Frank Vogel really knew what he was doing? You see what I'm saying?
Or Rob Pelinka?
Right. Yeah. If they win, let's say they win three back-to-back championships with AD and LeBron, are they going to say Rob Pelinka really put that together? No. They're going to say Rob Pelinka got out of LeBron and AD's way. That's my thing with David Griffin. You knew, but it's not like LeBron's going into, what, his 15th year? You know what to expect with LeBron. We saw it down here with LeBron. That's the thing is, that's why I'm saying I'm not defending LeBron, but it's kind of like a leper can't change its spots.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know what, LeBron comes to your team. And whenever LeBron leaves L.A., 100% chance, put your money on it, they're going to be terrible the next couple years. The Heat were terrible. The Cavs were terrible. The Cavs are terrible the second time around. They're going to be terrible. It is the, like I say, it's the wake, if you want to call it, the residual damage, the shrapnel of having LeBron James on your team. And LeBron sets it up that way. He puts immense pressure. Remember, he was signing the 1-1 deals?
Well, that's right. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. Immense pressure on the organization. So if you know that this guy's coming in to sign 1-1 deals, it's not a surprise that he's putting pressure on you because his presence is pressure. We have him for 82 games. If we don't add the pieces he wants, he's leaving. Or if he doesn't leave, he's going to opt in for another 82 games. And then after that's over, he's going to sign another 1-1 deal. That's what LeBron does. So it's almost, to me, it's crazy that David Griffin he's acting like he was naive about him jumping in to the pit of snakes, jumping into the lion's den. You jump into the lion's den, you don't expect to get scratched or bit. That's what LeBron does. He's going to scratch and going to bite you, but he's going to want his team to do as best as they can. LeBron is the winner. That's the funniest thing about it is him saying LeBron not being the same animal about winning. I think you'll be able to see that on the court this year. Last year was easy to give a LeBron what's it called when them damn kids, and I think it's the silliest thing in the world, a gap year.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just take a year and travel the world. Take your ass to school. Travel the damn world. Gap year. Gap your ass to the classroom and get some grades. LeBron's little gap year. I snapped a little bit. LeBron's little gap year. We knew last year was a gap year. That team wasn't Rondo, Stevenson. We saw JaVale McGee. We saw the guys on that team. That wasn't a championship team. LeBron didn't play as much. He ended up doing the groin thing, missing, 18, 20 games. We knew that was his little gap year. When he comes back with AD, adding these pieces around him and Anthony Davis, that's when I'm going to see if he's still the same animal. But if I had to bet money, I would bet on him being just as tenacious to go win the championship as he was in Miami, Cleveland the second time, and whenever he was playing. But for David Griffin to be surprised by being the GM of a LeBron team, he must have been just floating in the clouds for the last 10 years because we all saw what happens when LeBron James is on the team.
I wonder, though, and you make all fair points, but I wonder what David Griffin verbalized to Sports Illustrated. I wonder what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and everybody with the Heat think about that, right? Like, privately.
Laughing.
Privately. They're like, wow, he actually said it, right? Like, he actually said it. I can't believe that. But you're right. In Cleveland, LeBron James being on the team, it wasn't about building anything for the future. It was about, you better have a team ready to win now, or the threat of LeBron leaving is always there. So it's got to be a lot of pressure. So I can understand from that perspective. But at the same time, think about in the history of sports. Doesn't matter what the team is, the organization, fans in general, when they have a perception of a team and they're looking at whoever is picking the players, and the general manager in this case, they don't care what's going on behind the scenes. They don't care if you've got a tough relationship with one of the players or if somebody's putting pressure on you. The bottom line is, can you put a winning product out on the court, on the field, on the ice, whatever the sport is? Like, nobody cares about all this stuff behind the scenes. Like, I get it. David Griffin, you can be a human being. Maybe that's how you felt. That's fine. But you shouldn't be in this business if you're going to get sensitive about these things, right?
Like, yes.
And the bottom line is, there's a bunch of general managers and people who've run teams who are sensitive about star players, the way they've treated them, and all this other stuff, the awkward positions they put them in. They don't have a championship to show for it. He has a championship on his resume that nobody can take away from him. And now he's complaining about it? Like, how does this make any sense?
You in the Moneyball thing, like you're talking about, you're trying to win. Put a combination of players together to win. It's like the Moneyball movie.
Right.
But they were doing it analytically, and now it's funny. Every sport's going to analytics at some level. But the Moneyball thing, LeBron James is a cheat code. Yeah. He really is. Shane Battier is not supposed to be an intricate, you know, ancillary piece of a championship team at his age. He wasn't supposed to be. But put him with LeBron, it's a cheat code. Where he can be Norris Cole. If Norris Cole got drafted to the Timberwolves, we know his name? Would anybody know his name? I don't believe so. LeBron's a cheat code, but that comes with some residual damage. We knew it. That's my biggest surprise about David Griffin. When I read that, what was it yesterday? Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff hit the fan. I was reading it, and it was almost obvious to me. When I started reading it about his criticism, I was like, we knew that. We knew that. We knew that he's going to put pressure on you. Like, you can watch his contract construction. You can watch how he talks to the media. You can watch his free agency. to see it's not about anything other than LeBron and what LeBron wants to do. And if you can't help him do what he wants to do, get out the way. Don't give me your advice. Don't tell me what you think. Get out of my way if you're not helping me win championships. That's all I want to do. And that's all he's concerned with. I don't want to say he's a paid killer, whatever, Darrell Revis or an Ndamukong Suh type guy.
A mercenary.
A mercenary. Right. There we go. Lost the word. But isn't he kind of a mercenary? Come on down here. Give us 4 years. We'll win two championships. You're going to run back to Cleveland. They're going to pay you and do whatever it can to win a championship. You know what? I want to do a movie career. I'll see if L.A. will give me a bunch of money because I want to go out there. LeBron is selfish as hell. He's selfish as hell. But he's good enough to be that way because he is a cheat code. He's the second biggest cheat code in the history of the NBA.
You know what makes this extra awkward? This is my favorite part of the story. We haven't even gotten to this yet. So LeBron and David Griffin up to this point apparently had maintained a very good relationship because you remember when David Griffin was let go. It sounds like he left voluntarily, but at the time we were all like, how come Dan Gilbert didn't pay him, right? And there was the story that leaked that they were offering him a kind of a lowball offer for a general manager and all this other stuff, and then they ended up promoting with Kobe White, or if I have his name correct, but the new general manager.
Yeah.
And so, you know, young guy who had worked under Griffin. And LeBron, like, publicly went on record as saying that he wanted David Griffin to come back, and it didn't happen, and all this other stuff. But James and Griffin have maintained a positive relationship to the point where James, last month, it is August 2nd, so last month, he took to Twitter to promote the business of Griffin's wife, Meredith Hale Griffin, to his more than 43 million followers. He tweeted about her business to promote it. And this was his last month. And then David Griffin goes on record as saying, oh, my gosh, like, I was in pain. It was a terrible, miserable experience working with LeBron James. I mean, this is weird. The whole thing is really bizarre.
Yeah, but if you got somebody with 43 million followers and you want to get something out there, you can brush up under the rug for 10, 15 minutes. How much money? Let's say 3% of those 43 million use her business. Man, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, I know, but that's the thing. Like, LeBron's not in the business of just promoting frivolously, right? Like, to your point, like, LeBron doesn't, like, if he's going to promote something, it's either going to be his business or somebody who's paying him.
Oh, no. This, yeah, I get what you're saying. This bad marriage was one-sided. If you think LeBron had no problem with David Griffin.
No.
Why would he? You constructed a roster that went on to beat the Golden State Warriors and win a national world championship. Why would he have a problem with David Griffin? David Griffin did exactly what him and Rich Paul wanted them to do, added the pieces he wanted them to add, paid the pieces he wanted them to pay. He got Tristan Thompson. Everybody know Tristan Thompson wasn't going to get no money. What did he get, $88 million, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, huge deal. Yeah.
Something around there. He wasn't supposed to get that money. LeBron got those guys paid. They did exactly what LeBron wanted to do, and he brought a championship, and that's what he promised you guys. And LeBron did it, and that's why LeBron was so – he had no problem leaving because I promised you a championship. I brought you guys a championship. Now I'm gone because LeBron wants to leave. I'm sure he talked about himself in third person. Just seems like that type of guy. But yeah, this was not a marriage that had problems on both sides. This was the wife happy and content, and the husband complaining to his friends all the time about how terrible his wife is, but his wife just at home, happy, winning games, and having a good time. This was not a mutual divorce. LeBron, I guarantee LeBron was blindsided when these comments came out. Like, damn, Dave, what's going on, bro? Why do you have a problem? Dave couldn't say it because at the time they were trying to win a championship, and I guarantee David Griffin still has that damn ring somewhere in his house because that's what your sacrifice did for your legacy. As you brought up, Greg, nobody would know his name if he wasn't the GM of LeBron's team when he went back to Cleveland.
Very true. If he's on some bottom feeder Cavs team, then he just becomes part of a joke, right? Like, oh, yeah, who is the general manager when they were terrible? Oh, yeah, well, which time, right? Oh, okay, well, David Griffin, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
We got a bunch of people texting in, 560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, if you want to join in. I'm curious to know if, you know, everybody on Team Petty is now, like, in the corner of David Griffin all of a sudden, or if people actually see LeBron's side of this and realize, to your point, like, you seem to criticize LeBron at every turn, yes, possible. yet you're on LeBron's side here. So we have had a shift change here. I'm curious. We're going to come back. We're going to read some of your texts and continue on here. Stay tuned on 560 WQAM. Joe Rose and Zach Kranz will be live at training camp Tuesday, August 6th from 6 to 10 a.m. with the latest Dolphins news, sponsored by Twin Peaks and Davie, your ultimate sports lodge. Come in for lunch and get free chips and queso with your training camp ticket from that day. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views, and by Lexus of Pembroke Pines, always an amazing deal. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder. So we've got Alex Solano with us as well. Hope everybody's having a great Friday afternoon as we're getting you ready for the weekend. Man, we got a lot of people who are chiming in here on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 560-22 about this LeBron James topic of conversation. So it doesn't matter what LeBron does or doesn't do. You bring him up, he becomes polarizing, especially in this town, right?
Yes.
Everybody's got a strong opinion about it. Somebody here says, couldn't agree with Channing more. LeBron definitely second best player ever, but very difficult to like. Okay.
It's just, and somebody else said, how can you not like the man? You never met him personally. I haven't hung out and ate dinner with him, but I have been around and we've been a number of clubs together back in my clubbing days. I've talked to a number of people being in South Florida media about him. He loves LeBron James a lot more than he likes everybody else in the world. He's a LeBron James. LeBron's the biggest LeBron James fan in the world, and everybody knows that that's around him. I don't like people like that. I like the down-to-earth guys. I like the Allen Iversons. I like just the guys I grew up watching and loving and playing with. I love those type guys. Down-to-earth, cool dudes, normal guys. It's always a show with him. It's always a performance. It's always premeditated. LeBron was the chosen one since he was 14 years old. I remember seeing on a magazine he was 14, 15 years old. That's his personality. I don't think he knows who he is. I think he's the chosen one at all times and protected by a big-ass group of people that don't let him really thrive and be himself, where he just has to try to think about everything he says and does. Everything's premeditated. Everything is worked out. And people say, why do you criticize that? That's a business. I say, yeah, the business of LeBron's great. The basketball of LeBron's great. As a person, I don't like people like that. I don't
so you
like
think that everything
people.
Is calculated.
Everything's calculated that he does in his whole life.
Well, so Solana, I know you have this here on our sound sheet, so I'm not going to throw you off here, but we do have this LeBron James sound, which isn't anything brand new, but he's turned this into kind of his shtick, I guess. So you're telling me, we're going to play this for you in a second, but you're telling me what he is doing on social media when it comes to this Taco Tuesday thing? You think this is all premeditated as well?
Yes, because the third Taco Tuesday, what was it? Him with Anthony Davis and him with his new teammates. It wasn't just him. The first one was him and his family, and he yells out Taco Tuesday, and that, from a dude like me, that's lame as hell. If I was my buddy, I'd be like, bro, quit doing that damn Taco Tuesday crap. You look silly as hell. I would tell him if that was my friend, like, bro, what the hell are you doing? You're LeBron James. Taco Tuesday. Looks dumb. Past that. Now he wants to introduce Anthony Davis through Taco Tuesday. Somebody else, I don't know, one of his other teammates through Taco Tuesday. That's calculated. The first one was calculated to set up the second one. Greg, I'm telling you, look back at everything he does, and I guarantee you can find a trend of what he's trying to accomplish. Every decision he makes, he's trying to accomplish something. Sometimes Allen Iverson just had to punch somebody in the face and didn't care about the background of it.
I also do think that these videos are proof that he's becoming the old guy who's like out of touch, right? Like these Taco Tuesday videos, every time I watch them, I'm cringing first and foremost, but they're not funny. They're not creative. I mean, I know there's another conversation. I don't want to get political or whatever, but they may very well be insulting to some people, not to me, but to some people. And like you could tell he's no longer the young, funny guy who everybody loves.
Was he funny? I remember when he was young. When was he funny?
I'm not saying he was.
He was never funny because he's not funny.
But Crowder, he's always been. He's always been the guy that they say in the locker room. He commanded it. You know, people look to him and he's no longer
I'll tell you this.
But he was kind of funny in the Harlem Shake video.
Taylor told a joke over John Denny. JT would get a lot more laughs than John Denny, if you see what I'm saying. The jokes are better when you're Hall of Famer,
right?
Other than a long snapper. my joke. I got way better jokes than JT. JT will get more laughs than me sometimes because JT finally talked. LeBron has a lot of that. Lance Stephenson does Taco Tuesday. Do we talk about it?
No.
Why not?
He's not LeBron.
He's not LeBron. That's the whole thing. LeBron lives off LeBron. He works hard, and he's, like I said, the second best basketball player I've seen in my life. But let's be honest about it. That's what it is. It's basketball. Dude's not entertaining, not funny. I don't know how the Space Jam 2 is going to go because he wasn't a good actor when he did the damn Bigfoot movie and he had to talk over a damn voiceover. He was still silly. Interested to see how this is going to go.
He was good, though, and I forget what the movie was.
With the Amy Schumer movie?
Right, with the Amy Schumer. He was good in that movie.
Was he a good actor or was he a good ball player trying to be an actor?
He played himself. I think he was okay.
Yeah,
I'm always down.
How can you be okay at playing yourself?
Well,
you should win an Oscar. You should win an Oscar at playing yourself. Come on now. What y'all just say?
It wasn't an Oscar-worthy movie. It wasn't a film we're talking about here. This was a romantic comedy.
Because they tried to make him funny. He's not funny. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, LeBron fans out there. They're killing me on the text line. I accept it. I love it. I'll take some of y'all back. But, bro, be honest with yourself. When you're laying home at night, staring at your popcorn ceiling, just give me a little benefit of the doubt when you're thinking about it.
Can we hear the Taco Tuesday, by the way, just to piss Channing off?
Tuesday! Taco Tuesday!
Bro.
That's really corny.
It's terribly corny.
It's rough.
The first one he did, though, I thought was kind of funny because his daughter was cute and she did it. Like, that was cute. Like, him doing it was like one thing, but like the kids doing it was kind of funny. But yeah, now since then, it's way too much.
The first one, his wife, he was like, give me something,
she
Savannah.
She was hiding.
And she was like, no. Because she knows it's lame, but she doesn't want to tell her husband he's lame because that's her husband. They don't have to, like, my wife tells me, hey, crap's not funny. She'll come home. I say something on there, she'll be like, hey, that wasn't funny. The whole Wiz Khalifa joke about Hawk liking skinny girls, that wasn't funny. I'd be like, I appreciate it. I ain't going to use it again. They can't do that to LeBron because he's the chosen one.
Do you want to hear the, Crowder, do you want to hear the Taco Tuesday remix song that somebody made with LeBron's Taco Tuesday bits?
They better do something better to make it funnier than what he makes it.
Because it's Taco Tuesday.
Gets you in the Friday mood.
I can see them playing this on the rooftop here in this building.
Put a little beat behind something, anything can do it.
That part's funny.
I've heard the phrase Taco Tuesday since I was a child.
Right.
Why is it funny when LeBron yells it with an accent?
Are you offended by the accent?
I'm not, but I'm not Hispanic. Like, right. I have no attachment to it.
Not offended either, but I do think it's an interesting topic of conversation. I don't mean for us to go down this road, but I have seen on social media, and again, social media is like a cesspool with some of these things. Yeah. People get so overly sensitive, but it is an interesting dynamic. And again, this is just an observation. I'm not saying one's good or bad, right or wrong, so don't write me off right when I say this, but I have seen the argument out there that, you know, LeBron was really upset when Phil Jackson used the term posse to describe him and his guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, for various reasons. And I can understand where he's coming from there. And now he's impersonating a Hispanic or a Mexican person doing Taco Tuesday, and it's all in good fun. And again, different context, I get it. But, you know, everybody gets sensitive about different things, and it does make you wonder. Like,
and it's not worth it. Like him, even if he did upset some Hispanic people, why would he upset them to do some lame-ass thing like yell, It's dumb and it's not funny at all.
I'm with you. Unless this is just some build-up to a big sponsorship deal with Taco Bell or something, right? Like LeBron's now going to be their spokesperson, and they're going to use these clips in their new commercials.
It's why I was asking you, Crowder. Like, is he becoming the out-of-touch old guy? Because it's not like he's approaching that line, right, where you don't really know if you want to cross that line or not. for something that's the lamest thing you've ever seen on social. Like, it's not even like he's, you know, he's making stereotypical jokes about Hispanics, and it's funny, and it's comedy, and like, okay, we'll give you a pass because it's funny. This isn't funny. This is lame and cringeworthy, and he's approaching that line where, like, some people are outraged at him, you know, being the making videos of tacos and doing stereotypical Mexican sounding chant. Like he's approaching that line. Like, let's be honest, he is.
And then to what you just said, if it is an endorsement behind it, I would 100% not be surprised, because it goes right back to LeBron's the biggest fan of LeBron.
And there's a purpose behind it.
And there is purpose, yes. And there is a premeditated thought behind every single action this man does when he opens his eyes in the morning. And to your point, the people out there are still killing me on the text line. Let me just ask you a question. Name the other guy that does this on social media. The other top guy. The other KD, Kawhi, Tom Brady. Those guys. Name me another one. Name me another one
that does this sort of stuff.
Just does the Taco Tuesday, just the guy that does that.
Well, I'm thinking that the another guy that I know is active on social media and you could call out at times is Dwayne Wade, right?
Was he active before he got around LeBron James, who messed him out of millions of dollars?
He was more active after he got around LeBron James and his now, you know, Hollywood wife, Gabrielle Union.
And then sent his ass to Chicago. And then when he went back to Cleveland, then cut him halfway through the year to send him back to Miami. That was LeBron's decision. So that is a LeBron decision as well. But did you not see Dwayne Wade change when LeBron got around?
Oh, definitely.
People want to put it on Gabby. I don't put it on Gabby at all. I put it on Bron.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard the same thing. I've talked to people, you know, who are more connected to the Miami Heat, and they said D. Wade changed dramatically. And I've talked to people who covered Dwayne Wade post-Miami Heat in Chicago and Cleveland, and they've told me that he, you know, it was a difficult time.
See?
Being around him.
See? I'm just
– Now,
I'm,
with that I'm being said, saying. I'm a huge D. Wade fan, and he can do no wrong here in town, but – I'm backing you up on that one.
I'm just saying, man. It's just why. And he is at a higher level than all those guys. But he finds the need to try to fit in or be the guy and whatever it is for no reason. Flat out. And me and my boy sitting around to a man. LeBron James is lame as hell. That's what that's like when we talk about stuff like that. We'll be like, bro, dude's lame. Like, please don't get athletic success caught up with cool. Athletic success and cool have nothing to do. I knew some hellified players that are lame as hell. I knew some hellified players that are cool, good. I know some terrible players that I love hanging with and being around, and cool dudes to vibe with, chill with, have a good time with, and some great players that I wouldn't drink a shot of water with because I don't want to be around you that long to eat a hot dog. I don't want to be around you. Dude's kind of lame. I don't know if people want to admit it because he's amazing at basketball, and I'm not ever going to say anything or criticize his basketball ability, but him as a human, dude's lame. Like, just eat it.
Wow. Now, what do you think of him and all the charitable work he does in the community and the fact he's got that I Promise school?
Amazing.
Okay.
So, amazing.
So as a human being, you have to give him some credit there.
Great human, great philanthropist. Great play. Like, there are things that LeBron does that are off the chain amazing. We're talking about Twitter and him personally.
What have you watched The Shop on HBO, his show?
Yeah. If you can't see him trying to fit in, am I the only one that sees him trying to fit in with the rappers, trying to fit in with the other people?
The young guys also.
Right, but
trying to fit in with the younger generation.
This is my interpretation. Again, it's different for me. I'm a white male. I'm 35 years old. So maybe it's different. I have a different perspective. But, like, LeBron James seems to be, in most aspects of his life, very buttoned up, very business-oriented. He wants to make the best impression possible. Now, granted, he's been more politically active than, say, a Michael Jordan, but he's largely gone down the path of a Michael Jordan in terms of, you know, his money and his business top of mind, right? That's the first thing, and being a great player.
Yep.
The Shop, to me, is a little weird in the sense that I understand that, like, when we get off the radio, most people speak differently on air than you do off the air. And so, like, if he's got a bunch of TV cameras and, you know, microphones plopped in his face, he's going to speak differently after a game in a press conference than he would with his buddies, you know, when he's away from the facility. But at the same time, like, The Shop, to me, it's a little weird from a business standpoint. He gets on there and it's just the language and all that other stuff. I'm like, wow, like, that doesn't strike me as, even though that's reality, it doesn't strike me as maybe the business decision you would make if you were going to be a spokesperson for Nike and all the other sponsorship deals that he has. I don't know. That's just me.
Oh, no. And to answer that question, I think it was constructed to be that, where
I'm real.
Dudes that grew up not being the chosen one at 14, 15 don't really respect me as a human. They respect me as a basketball player. Bron, you ain't been through nothing. Like, at 15, everybody knew you were going to be the best basketball player in the world. Like, you weren't around what I was around even. Like, you weren't around. You didn't see that stuff. So you can act like it. You can be good. And like I say, the I Promise School, the stuff he does for the kids in Cleveland, I love it. I respect the hell out of it because of his philanthropy. As a philanthropist, I respect him. As a player, I respect him. I'm talking about as a dude.
Right.
As a guy. I tell you this. If we walk out in the parking lot, LeBron James there, and guys try to jump me, one of the last guys I'm gonna ask to fight for me. I don't think he would touch a soul. I don't think he's ever punched somebody in the face in his life. And to me, Greg, Solana's never fought, Hawks never fought, Falero before that we've talked about never fought. I understand that you haven't, but I kind of look at you funny because of what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And LeBron doesn't. He tries to relate with that person because it seems like he should relate with that person, but he does not. Relate with that person.
Solana, let me check. Did he just assume that I haven't fought? Was that what he just did right there?
He just threw you in a group of another white guys here at the station who haven't
fought. I didn't make it racial. I just said, you know what? You're Spanish. You're Hispanic. Falero's Hispanic. I throw it in a group of white people.
Dale.
Greg, you're married to a Colombian.
But Crowder.
You got a little stank in you, a little something in you.
To be fair, like, can't you see it from our perspective, too, where – like, we look at your lifestyle and the things that you always tell us on air, those stories of, you know, you walk into a club, you knock a couple people out, and then you just go back to party. No, but seriously, like, we look at that as barbaric. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean it in a bad way at all.
Like, it is. I agree with you.
Right.
Like, I agree 100%
LeBron,
with you.
LeBron at 15, never being in a fight after that, to me, isn't, you know, that to me doesn't make him lame.
No.
That to me.
But don't try to act like. You've done that. Don't act like you've been
right.
there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all are flat out with it. I know people that I'll even say it, be like, yeah, you know, fighting. And then people know my story. It's well out there, social media and all that, my arrested game. But, like, it's known I wasn't a straight-edge guy my whole life. Not even right now, Greg. I'll whisper that to you.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say anything.
I still get in a little trouble. But just that. So just be you. I hang with Hawk. Me and Hawk go out to have and I know for a fact, I'll say it, I would expect Hawk and LeBron to jump in the fight at the same time. No lie. No exaggeration.
Basically never?
Is that never. What you're saying? Yeah. if I'm getting jumped by four or five people, I expect Hawk and LeBron would jump in and help me at the same exact time, and that's after I'm in the hospital bed with the beep, beep,
I got you.
Beep.
I'll be the first one to jump in there, Crowder.
Don't bring that bun over.
Now,
take that bun out your head because they're going to grab a hold of that one.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, I want to examine this fighting thing for a little bit because you're saying, like, Solana's never been in a fight. Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, you've never been.
No, I've never like me and somebody else just gone toe to toe fist fight.
You've
like,
never had
that situation.
You never had a situation where there was like a group fight or anything, or something happened. You had to break things up. Nothing.
I mean, in sporting events, right? Like playing in high school or even before that. Like, there's been instances where, you know, like, people had to defend themselves. I had to defend myself, or vice versa. But like, I've never me and one other person toe to toe put up our fists and fought any. Like, I've never been in that situation. Or, you know, like, somebody's calling me out. Like, I'm not that. Like, I don't get into fights with people. I'm not that.
Okay,
that
so
and don't because I see how it's getting painted now. Reading some tweets and stuff, or reading some texts. I'm not saying fighting makes you cool. I'm just saying if you're not built like that, act like it. Don't act tough.
Right.
If you're 30 years old and never slapped nobody, don't act like, oh yeah. Who? What'd he say? Who's he looking at? If he's looking at you, what are you going to do? Nothing at all. So quit asking about him looking at you. I'm not saying it makes you a different person or a better person. It actually makes you a worse person. As a 35-year-old, I can say that. It makes me a worse person that I've slapped people and y'all haven't. But if you have not done that, don't act that way.
Don't
act like that.
Chan, you want to get slapped?
Bro, if you touch me,
whoa.
I'm going to tear up this whole new studio. We have to move again.
When we come back.
What's up, pop pop?
Not your dad.
I will not claim to have done what Channing has done. I certainly have never been arrested, but I have been in a fight before, and I'm going to tell you about it next.
radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens in for a Hawk on this Friday, alongside Channing Crowder. Alex Solano with us as well. In the 4 o'clock hour, Cam Wolf will join us from ESPN. Covers the Miami Dolphins. Looking forward to that. Getting a bunch of people texting in, which is fun. 560-22 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I like this one. Channing in a bar fight just needs to show his butt foot and people be running like hell.
Bet they would. I showed some ladies because that story got out after you exposed it last time we were together. Very heavily exposed it. The ladies in the building asked me about the butt foot, and I showed them. But I teased them because I showed them my pretty foot first.
Them the other foot.
My right foot is sexy now. Beautiful toe digression, strong, veiny midfoot. Large. I have a high arch. That's beautiful. High arch.
Degression? Is that a...
Yeah. Like my big toe is a little bit longer than my pointer toe.
Is that
toe.
Like a podiatrist term? Or?
Yeah. Oh, I just made it up. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, don't know any podiatrist.
No, I, you're educating me on this.
Pointer toe a little bit longer than your middle toe. And you see where I'm going. It digresses down and is a beautiful curve of the toes. Some people got the snaggy toes off Boomerang. I don't have no buns, no corns or bunions on the right foot. Then I pull out the left foot. It's the ugly foot. Got the booty skin, the bunions, the corns, the everything. So
I'm actually convinced. Now, I know that something was announced prior to this, but I'm convinced that the final straw in terms of moving to a new studio was when you stuck the butt foot on every table in both the studio and in the control room at the last building. I think then they're like, okay, this is hazardous. We need to move as quickly as possible.
How's it hazardous, man?
I mean, just take a look at it. I mean, people saw it on Twitter when we posted it. I mean, my goodness.
I keep my feet, you know, well kept. I clip my little toenails, you know, decently. I try to keep it going, but man, nice. My feet just stink. My wife can't stand it.
Well, I mean,
I've messed up action.
You got a butt on your foot.
No, not even the butt part, Greg. Like, well, you know, I'm laying there and she's laying there and watching a little TV, whatever, and then we turn the TV off and it's, you know, it's reach over and you got to rub that hip. You do the hip rub.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel out the situation. You just rub the little hip a little bit to see if she rolls her
see
hip.
See what kind of vibe you get back.
Yeah, and right. If she turns and throws a little hip back a little bit to your side of the bed, then you know it's a little action time. So when that happens, now I got to pull the covers up to roll towards her as she's rolling towards me, and then the wafting of the covers makes my feet smell come throughout the room. And I've lost out on action because she's like, oh, my goodness, baby, I can get – and she'll go back to her side of it.
Does she make you go wash your feet or she just goes to bed?
Well, since you asked, I'll tell the truth. Sometimes she's like, wash your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing going on and you wash your feet. And I'd be like, the hell with it. I'm already in bed. I'll sacrifice. So then you got no action. Like, you keep your stuff to yourself. I keep these feet to myself. And we'll wake up in the morning and make coffee.
Too much work to go wash your feet. Yeah,
yeah, man. I got to wait for like water to heat up and all that. Greg, nobody has time for that.
But to your point, I mean, these ladies, when they put their foot down, pun intended, then you got to go do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you real quick, this is nothing that is as notable as you, and I have not gotten arrested or anything like that. But when I was in Chicago, I was living here, but I went up to Chicago. This was, I don't know, before I met my now fiance. So it was like 7 or 8 years ago.
Is it a woman in the story? Because there's a reason why you pulled that out.
Not really. Oh, okay. So this is what happened. So my sister was living in Chicago at the time. I go to visit her. And I was going to meet her boyfriend, who is now her husband, and they just had a baby. So, I was meeting him, right? And so we go out to a bar in downtown Chicago, and some other friends of mine are there too because I used to live there, and so we all get together having a good time, and there's some really drunk guy who's coming over and just is, like, making weird comments to us and stuff, like, very uncomfortable, right? But getting in our faces, kind of, nothing, like, aggressive, but kind of, like, making some weird, like, man, I really like your hair, and trying to touch people's...
Nah. In your personal space.
In the personal space.
Yeah.
So we told him, hey, man, just back off, like, you know, no more, and kind of thing. And so then my future brother-in-law decides at one point, because this guy was wearing a hat, he was like, the guy wasn't getting the impression that we didn't want him to be around, he was drunk, takes his hat off and, like, threw it over to a table across the way and said, hey, go stay over there. Little time passes. The guy wasn't around us anymore. The guy and his friends decide they're going to leave.
The guy and his friends had purchased a fish bowl of alcohol. Literally, like a goldfish bowl, but it was filled with alcohol.
With a bunch of straws everybody drinks right out of it. Yeah, I've seen it.
Picks it up, dumps it on my future brother-in-law,
ooh,
runs out. They all run out. They do that and
so
run
they
out.
They didn't really want to fight. They just wanted to.
No. So next thing you know, I turn around because it's happened behind me. My brother-in-law and his friends. By the way, my brother-in-law is 6'7". His other friend is about the same height. Not that they're like big, you know, jacked up guys, but they're like big dudes just in general.
They got reach now. They
And then, and there's this little guy, this little squirrely guy. He dumps the thing on him so that they run out after him. And so then I'm like, oh, crap. What am I going to do now? I got to go. So me and my best friend, we got to go out there. My sister goes out there too, right? Because, you know, she doesn't. So what happens is the bouncers grab my future brother-in-law and his friends. And then for some reason, like, we get by. And so we're out there in the middle of the street, and we got this woman who's with the guy who started the whole thing, and she's screaming. They're all drunk, and she's screaming all this stuff and telling us. And we're like, and I'm trying to create peace. So I'm like, listen, we don't want to have anything to do with this. Just get the hell out of here kind of thing, and we're going to go about our business. The drunk guy comes over and takes a swing at me.
And you matrixed him.
And I moved back because I wasn't drunk, but he scratched my eye, took my contact out. At that point, my buddy, my best friend from growing up, takes him out. Mm-hmm. And then madness. And we're in the street.
And
we just start, you know, then you just start, you get in that mode. And that's not something that's ever been me, right? You even said, like, you haven't been in a fight. But when those things happen, you just got to start doing it. You're swinging. You're pushing people out of the way. Fortunately, what happened, the bouncers saw the whole thing. They came over, grabbed me, my friend, and my sister who got into it too because she didn't want to see me get hurt and all this other stuff. So I look over and she's pushing some guy down. Now they're all drunk, so you know they're a little off kilter anyway.
Wobbles.
But they pull us back into the bar. Cops are called. The cops come, get them, and then we're good because the bouncer's like, hey, we know you didn't start it. We were in there, and that's my story. That was the fight I was in. So
you just finished it.
Took a couple swings. Nothing all that notable, but, you know, I think I've got slight edge up on Hawk and Solana, but I'm nowhere near where you are.
And
that's
Ma,
sure.
You want to know, though, man. You're undefeated.
Hey, listen.
Some ass kickers.
You dump a fishbowl. That's what I'm running after you.
That's your last straw. The fishbowl.
Literally, yes. That's the one and only fight. I haven't been in one since.
You want these hands, GL?
Oh, man. I got all sorts of people challenging me to all sorts of things. Solana's not going to challenge me this. Duarte wants to play me in basketball? What's going on? Am I just an easy target? Is that what everybody thinks?
Greg, sweet feet liking. I was going to tell you, if y'all ain't seen Greg, he's not no little dude now. Y'all might want to stop testing him. Greg, you about 6'4"? 6'3", 6'4"?
6'2", 6'3", yeah.
Yeah, you long, got your reach now. Don't try him. And I got his back.
I'll take it. Did we just have Action Boss and it just went away just like that?
Yeah, we had some Action Boss.
Okay, yeah. I thought
it was Jack.
Or Jack.
Papa.
It's not Papa. I guarantee that.
All right.
Papa.
Well, we got to go to break. Solana's like, come on, dude. None of your stupid story here. Let's go to break.
It.
We got Cameron Wolf going to join us at around 4:20 or so. Big 4 o'clock hour coming up. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.